want to do it.
Oh, you do like a No, back of the throat. There you go. Did you get it?
I don't know.
Somewhere deep inside Transition Studios, brought to you by your hosts, Roger and Leto. Welcome to Sci-Fi Rewind!
Hello! And welcome. I'm Leto.
I'm Roger.
And together we are
Sci-Fi Rewind.
All right, we got another one here. It's just going to be Roger and I this week.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna mess around. You should know the format by now. You got plenty of backlog to check out. We explain it all.
Our only guest here today is just blankness. Chair.
Chair.
Chair with clothes on it.
Chair. How you doing, Chair?
Really good to know. Thank you for letting us know that.
Yeah, please keep it quiet, Chair.
Okay, we're going to have to ask the chair to leave.
Can the chair keep its cell phone turned off, please?
Chair, please. You can't keep saying these wild remarks. We might have to kick you off.
And Chair, make sure your laptop is not making dinging noises when your emails show up.
Who are we? Clint Eastwood?
Ooh, are we?
Clint Eastwood did this whole bit where he was just like pretending like Obama was on a chair.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like, it was super weird. He was like doing a comedy bit.
Yeah.
And then Bill Hader like went on SNL and he did a whole skit around that where he was going around and doing a comedy act.
Hey, can I talk about my favorite show, Saturday Night Live?
Oh, you mean that terrible show that's still on these days?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows. I never miss it. I stay up and I fall asleep, but I catch.
Oh, you love it so much that it makes you fall asleep.
No, well, between the commercials, they're so long.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you need your phone or something to watch videos on YouTube or something.
Well, the next day they're all on YouTube and it's great.
Yeah.
Anyways,
how about
the time when, who was it? The guy was making fun of Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro. What was his name? He was a comedian.
I don't remember this time.
Yeah, they were making fun of him, on the skit. And then the real Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro walk in while they're in the middle of the sketch.
Well, this was probably awesome. Back in like the 90s or something, right?
No, maybe like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, that's something.
Brewer? Remember him? Jim Brewer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who it was. Jim Brewer was doing it. It's so funny. I'd highly recommend you guys check that out. And then Joe Pesci's hilarious on Saturday Night Live. He's got the skit with the pinky ring from maybe the 90s or whatever. And he's just like sitting there in the mirror with the pinky ring.
Okay.
It makes me laugh every time. I love it. You got to love it. Anyways.
We're here to talk about Daredevil 2003.
Yeah.
The director's cut. We should stress that.
Yeah,
we've heard. I've heard that that director's cut is usually the recommended way to watch this film,
mm-hmm.
even though it's longer, and it adds more scenes. I think it tries to make it a coherent story, but
right.
Well,
let's not waste any more time.
We gotta get into the
pitch room. I'm extremely busy this week. I got something major. Before we get started.
Okay.
Let's talk about our Facebook post episode discussion group real quick.
Okay.
People are already gathering. They're mustering and they're, if you haven't by now, go to Facebook and join the discussion group. Post a question. I'm sure, I'm not the only one at the end of our episodes that have questions that go unanswered. This is your opportunity to chime in, be part of the show, to keep the conversations going. All these episodes, that's what it should be. They should be conversation starters, if you believe, because we don't hit everything. We miss a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We spend like 2 hours after each show talking about everything we forgot to talk about. So we have that forum now. It's open. It's been obviously if you're following us on any social media.
If you take any insult to the fact that we're talking about this film and say this isn't sci-fi, go ahead and just tell us that.
Yeah,
I admit I might have taken some liberties here.
Yeah,
some liberties. I'll get into that.
Sure, no problem. Just to let you guys know, we've got that up and work and running, and you know we also got the email and the Twitter. You know, Sci-Fi Rewind or Rewind Sci-Fi, whichever one. You know, Instagram. I mean, we're not strangers to any of that stuff. It's all out there. And we try to keep up on everything. I can go a few days and be like, oh, man, I haven't checked our Twitter. What's going on? And, oh, yeah, nothing. It's all good.
Because we're marketing at all these different websites, yeah, and we just kind of, it's like, oh, we'll go here. We don't have a focus. We don't have a focus, and it's a little disorganized at the moment.
So, yeah, if anybody wants to help us out, that'd be cool.
We'll pay you, like, a penny.
We got a couple pennies.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into it. Let's get into this pitch session. I got to figure out why we did this. And all right, take it away.
I gotta try my best to convince you. All right. Lito!
Oh, oh my God, I was sleeping. What?
Lito!
Oh man, get out of here.
Lito,
hold on, I'm having a heart attack. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, well, I'm having a heart attack because I really need to get this idea to you, man.
Well, hold on. Let me pop an aspirin here. Whew, my blood thinners. Where are my blood thinners?
Okay. I got this brilliant idea.
Hold on, I gotta get a shot now. Hold on. Where's my
your adrenaline here.
My tequila.
Here.
All right, cool. Oh. Thank you. Oh, that was good.
You need some adrenaline? I got some adrenaline right here.
No, you already got me that. I gotta calm down from the adrenaline now. Jeez.
Okay, just give me a second. Yes. All right. Well, so, okay, I'm not gonna waste any more time. I got this brilliant idea we're going to do.
All right, take it down a notch.
Okay.
My ears.
All right, so, Lito.
I'm right here, Raj. I haven't gone anywhere.
Lito.
You got me the room. I can't leave.
Lito.
You're blocking the door.
Lito.
What?
Lito.
I'm right here.
Do you like Batman?
A little bit. Yeah, I grew up on Batman, sure.
Tim Burton especially. You like Tim Burton Batman?
Well, who doesn't, man? I mean, that thing is a freaking phenomenon. Yes, I love it. It changed all kinds of film stuff for me.
You know that Spider-Man film that came out some time ago? Pretty recently?
Which one?
Tobey Maguire movie.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
God, it's so good. What if?
If what?
What if?
If what?
We take that Batman.
Can I stop you right there?
Uh-huh.
I got to get a sandwich or something.
No. No, we're not getting a sandwich.
Let me just call the second.
No. I'm taking the sandwich. Yeah. I'm going to toss it. We're not doing this anymore, Lito. I'm going to tell you this.
You just tossed my sandwich out the window.
Yes, because I need to tell you about this idea. What if we take Batman? All right? Take Spider-Man.
More like Batty-Man. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Batman combined with Spider-Man. We combine them together. And we get Daredevil. Have you ever heard of Daredevil?
Is that an animal?
No, it's a daredevil is like a guy who does all these crazy stuff.
Oh, right, like Evel Knievel.
But there's this comic book, Evel Knievel.
Okay.
But there's this comic book that exists that we can really market off. It's called Daredevil.
I'm not real keen on comic book movies.
Hey, they sell a lot of money.
Whoa,
we'll censor that. but anyway. They make so much money. They're so profitable.
So to quote Spaceballs, we're not going to make a money. We're going to make a beep load of money.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, Daredevil. People love underdogs, right? People love to root for people who.
Why do you think people watch sports? Yes.
So we're going to give this. There's this whole situation with Daredevil is that he's blind. But his other sense, he got hit with a bunch of nuclear or radioactive acid or something that went into his eyes.
Ouch.
And it made him blind.
Ouch.
But
that
it heightened his other senses to a superhuman level degree.
Okay.
Where he essentially he has better sight than anyone in the world. He essentially has like bat sonar where he can basically just like.
So he's like a real Batman.
Almost like a real Batman, yes. So he lives a double life like Batman, where and Spider-Man, where he's a lawyer by day and a vigilante crime fighter by night.
Ooh, vigilante stories. Those are always, you know, gritty.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, yes, yes. And
yes, yes, yes.
So we're going to do this whole thing where he's trying to be a good lawyer and everything.
Wait. So what?
He's a lawyer, you know, just as blind.
That's a little bit on the nose, would you say?
Oh, on the nose, yes. Well, we're going to... I need a little more adrenaline here. Yeah. Okay, so...
I learned when I came up, you know, doing laughing. Not to make the joke be on the nose. It comes off a little bit, you know.
Anyway. So, Matt Murdock is Daredevil's real name. Matt Murdock is trying to be a good lawyer, but
like a Daredevil.
He's the man without fear, as they call him. Anyway, so. Where am I at now?
I'm trying to get that sandwich back.
You're never getting that sandwich back. It's done. It's gone. It's forever.
Oh boy.
It's dead like Matt Murdock's dad.
So you're making me go into a pitch session completely hungry.
Yes.
Mm.
Because you keep trying to find distractions.
Well, I just don't believe this one. My heart's not in this one.
Do you have any questions or anything? Do you want me to keep going with to try to explain the plot?
Yeah. Do you have $5.25 for a new sandwich?
Do you just want to call his pitch session? You're just done. We're just not getting anything out of this.
It's as bland as the movie that we saw. Okay, let's go. So you're saying it's like the DC character?
Yes, it's like Batman meets Spider-Man.
Okay, now what company is in charge here?
This is Warner Brothers, I believe, right?
I don't know. What,
no,
what
no, it's Fox. It's Fox.
What comic book company are we talking about?
Marvel. It's a Marvel.
A Marvel movie. Okay, they're going to hit us with all kinds of licensing fees. So how are we going to get this character from the comic book that they own all the IP to the film? Is it going to cost us some money?
Marvel sold away all of their properties back in like the 90s or something, or in the 80s.
Okay.
So we have that right. So we could just basically do all this. We could make this movie with almost no trouble.
No trouble?
Yeah,
no trouble.
They sold us the rights to Daredevil, so we could just make this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Are they going to make like a Daredevil movie comic book?
Yeah, it's going to be a Daredevil movie comic book.
All right. So they can kind of cross-promote?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I like cross-promoting. Who's the director? What's your top of the line?
That's Mark Steven Johnson.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just kind of disappeared after this film, folks. He made the Michael Keaton Jack Frost movie.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
Keep it.
That's all he made beforehand? Well, I mean, he made Grumpy Old Men.
All right. So obviously, directors and stuff aren't you. We're not getting the top echelon guys here.
We're really hitting gold here.
Wow. Okay. Talk to me about some actors then. I mean,
So for our top for our main character, our the guy who's going to be behind the suit.
Yeah.
We have. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah, yeah. He made Good Will Hunting.
Oh,
you know,
he's Oscar award winning.
You know, he was in Mallrats.
Yeah.
He was in Chasing Amy.
Okay.
He made all these films. He was in Armageddon.
AJ.
I guess he
was the little bright spot there, I guess. All right, so he's finally getting a starting. This is his movie.
This is his movie. This is gonna put him on the map. He's gonna be Batman. This is gonna be his Batman.
And he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good. He's a good guy.
All right,
I think.
So, what do you mean? You think?
There's a scene in the beginning of the film where he kind of kills a guy.
Okay.
But other than that, like he's going around, he's trying to save people. But the first kill is a little odd.
Talk to me about the inciting incident. Give me that. Talking about the story.
Well, okay, so Matt Murdock is a young kid.
Yeah.
And he has a dad who's like a hitman. Mob guy.
That sounds, yeah.
Who used to be a former boxer. But
what is this rated?
We're kind of hoping to get a rated R, but we could still work with a PG-13.
We want to get a rated R.
Yeah, that's what our goal is, but yeah, we can maybe get it to be a PG-13.
All right, so who's our target market for this one here?
Comic book fans.
Comic book fans, rated R.
Also people who like leather.
Leather-wearing comic book fans.
No, just people, not even comic fans, just people who like leather in general. There's a lot of leather in this film.
Oh, man, leather is shiny. We're going to have to figure out the way to flag these
lights. All that latex.
Yeah. So we're gonna be expending a lot of money on the flags. So, in Diffusion. So, who... okay, keep going with the actors. We're still there.
We got Jennifer Garner.
Whoa, from Alias? Is that the show she's got going on right now?
I believe so.
Oh, she's up and coming. She's going to be like an it girl. She's kind of like a pre-it girl. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're going to get
on the eyes.
We're going to get Michael Clark Duncan straight off of The Green Mile and all these other films.
Okay, so he's going to be the good guy.
Oh, no, he's going to be the main villain. Oh, trust me, he's going to give a great performance. He's going to be a very threatening, menacing...
Yeah, but he doesn't play those type of roles.
Oh, no, he's going to sell it. Trust me on this, he is going to sell his role. Like, you don't never want to get typecast as the same character over and over again.
Yeah, but he's so lovable. He's so cuddly. He's a big guy, but he's...
Oh, trust me, one of the first scenes you're ever going to see him, the first scene you ever see him, he's going to straight up kill his bodyguards to prove just how strong and how menacing he can be.
And you don't think that's going to throw the audience when they're used to seeing that, rooting for that guy?
Well, I feel like if you can't differentiate the actor from the character, then I feel like that's a problem.
Okay. Well, I would have a problem with. Okay, cool.
We also got Colin Farrell as Bullseye.
Who?
Yeah, he's kind of a new guy at this point.
Yeah.
Moment, but
what is he in?
Okay.
So I got a bunch of who's and so we're taking a chance on this cast.
He was
here.
Jesse James in American Outlaws. And he was in Minority Report as Agent Danny Whitwer. Okay. Whitwer.
So he's like a side character. Like
he was the main character in Phone Booth.
Oh, Phone Booth was out?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. So he's got some street cred. He's got a feature under his belt. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be the good guy.
Oh, no, he's also going to be an antagonist of the film.
Oh.
Trust me on this.
Are we rooting for in this film?
We're Daredevil?
Daredevil. All right. Is Elektra, she going to be like the girlfriend? Or is she going to...
Yeah, she is going to be... Jennifer Garner will be the Matt Murdock, Ben Affleck's main love interest. And this movie is a superhero movie, but it's also a love story.
Oh, you checked my number one box. A romance. We're going to have a romance for once.
Yes.
Classic date movie.
This whole movie is just...
Wait a minute. Comic book fans and a date movie?
Yes.
Oh, I think we found gold here.
Plus all that latex.
Okay. The S&M crowd is going to love it.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
We might be hitting some kinks here.
Hollywood's built on kinks.
We got Joe...
So listen...
We also got Joe Pantoja.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
Anybody else I should know of?
Well, Stan Lee will probably be a producer.
Yeah, I think, he's like always...
Excelsior and all that.
Excelsior. That's great.
Graeme Reveal will be the composer of the film? I have no idea how to say
that's
that name.
That's fine. Whatever.
Oh, he did From Dusk Till Dawn.
As long as he works on working the cheap, I don't care.
He did the score for The Crow.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
The Crow?
The Mighty Morphin... The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Oh, now you're talking.
From Dusk Till
Dawn.
Tell
me the work. I don't know the people behind it, but the work's stellar.
Bride of Chucky.
Ooh.
He did the Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff.
All right, that's cool. He's in. All right, so listen.
Yes.
My stomach's grumbling. How much money do you need for this crap? I mean, movie.
Almost $80 million.
$80 million?
We're freaking more like 78.
78?
Yeah.
To make the whole thing?
I mean,
what are you going to put the money in?
We're going to put a lot of CGI in the film. So we're going to need to get
post.
Yes, a lot of post.
Oh man.
We're going to need to maybe shoot some scenes in New York, you know, get some stock footage.
All right.
Is it going to
be all nice and bright? Most of the scenes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh.
It might be in the daytime. It's a good balance of night and daytime shots.
Okay. All right. So we got to balance of daytime shots. It's just it's harder to do when it's nighttime to make everything look realistic as well.
But trust me, we're in the middle of a superhero craze.
Did you say trust you?
Yes, trust me. Trust me. I put a lot of faith in all the movies we've made beforehand.
Uh-huh.
I need you to put your trust in me in this time, Lito. I need you to put your trust in me.
Well, 78 million, okay?
I know that's a lot.
They Live cost what now? Like four?
Three, something like that?
Three or two?
Trust me, we made a boatload on that.
You want me to take that profit and turn it into, put it into this thing?
Yes, we need this, Lito. We need to cash in on this superhero craze. People are going to eat this up.
So we're not the first superhero movie to come out.
We're not the first superhero movie to come out. They're going to be.
So we're following a trend.
We're following a trend, and people are going to. But we're at the beginning.
You don't think people are going to be sick of superhero movies by this point?
Lito, I really need you to trust me on this. We're at the beginning of a craze.
Uh-huh.
It would be bad if we're at the end of the craze.
Right,
it would be bad if it's like
right.
10 years have passed.
Right.
Like, definitely superhero movies will be popular 10 years from now in 2013.
So we're on the upswing. We're going to catch the wave up. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
We're at the beginning of this wave. This is something people are going to hear about and they're going to want to see. There's so much to offer here. There's so many crowds here.
All right. You're starting.
We even got Coolio involved, dude.
Coolio.
Coolio is going to be in this movie.
Well, wasn't he in that movie about the teacher and Michelle Pfeiffer and what was that movie called?
Batman and Robin.
He was in Batman and Robin?
He appeared in Batman and Robin for a second.
Well, that's good for him. You know, he's still working. I like that. So we got a romance. The director's a nobody.
We got Michael Clark Duncan. We got Coolio.
So, yeah, you're talking about this superhero craze. Now, like, let's predict the future. You kind of talked about it. And you see this future, this movie, like, lasting the test of time. Will this be a cult classic in your opinion?
Well, this will probably be something that people look back to and they probably have somewhat fond memories for or terrible. Fond memories for. In fact, you know, maybe this will be the inspiration. Maybe someone will want to do like a show or something.
All right, cool. You know, my daughter's watching this TV TV station a lot now. MTV, you heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got their own award show, right?
Yeah.
For all the hip, you know, teenage movies. Do you think we can hit that crowd? Do you think we can
get
another?
Definitely.
How many awards do you think we can get? And then what award categories do you think we could get to get doing those golden popcorns?
My answer to that is all of them.
Oh. So, like, we'd just, like, clean up in the MTV Music Award or Video Awards.
Not even clean up. We'd massacre that awards. We would just absolutely destroy it.
Because we have these hip actors, right? We got this hip look, right? Mm-hmm. What about the soundtrack? Talk to me about the soundtrack. I'm not talking about.
Oh, this is going to be such an epic soundtrack. We are going to have so many licensed. Yeah, that's going to probably be part of the budget. We're going to have so many songs in this film.
Okay.
That people are just going to go, like, I want to go listen to that song as soon as this film is over.
That sounds expensive.
Yes, it sounds expensive. That's why we kind of need the $78 million. But trust me on this. This is gonna work in our favor. People will remember this movie for the soundtrack.
Okay, I'm ready to sign. Where do I sign?
You just sign a napkin.
That's it.
It's just a napkin. Yeah, oh, sure.
L I T.
Okay, while you do that, I'm gonna head on out. I need to.
Oh.
Have a good one, Lito.
All right.
Just send that to me in the mail. Or whatever. I gotta go do whatever. I gotta go.
I can eat my sandwich now.
And as I walk away, I unzip my shirt to reveal a Daredevil shirt.
Hey,
did we make our money back?
We made $180 million.
All right. What is that?
I don't know if that's the triple.
I don't think that's the triple.
I don't know if we're in the triple area.
Right.
I think maybe it made its money back.
I don't know.
I don't know when the double area kicked in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it did okay.
Box office, so yeah, it did fine. But it didn't, and it got that sequel, but.
Yeah,
or a prequel? I don't know. I've never watched it.
No, what is it?
It's Elektra.
No, I know what you mean. A spin-off sequel.
A spin-off sequel, but like, dude, it was so weird.
Elektra is not great.
No, the thing was, it's like, how do you have a sequel about a character that dies?
Although this movie, at the end, it does imply that Elektra is still... Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, Elektra survived, even though her heart stopped?
What? What? I don't remember seeing that, but I just watched it.
Yeah, no, like there's at the end, Matt Murdock finds her necklace.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like hanging up somewhere. Uh-huh. It's like meant to go like, she's out there somewhere. And he's like happy. And he's just like, yeah.
Oh.
And it's like in Braille or something.
Oh. I know. You see Bullseye. I thought he was dead, but I guess he's alive.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's like, oh, my Lord. I can't believe Bullseye. Like,
he was twitching.
Although, to be fair, he's like in a full body cast. He is completely screwed up at the end.
Bullseye.
He is one of my favorite parts of the film.
You know what? You know what's funny? Is like, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's cool. And then at the end of the movie, I'm like, oh.
Oh no, he's hysterical in this movie.
So
Colin Farrell and Michael Clark Duncan.
Who's going first? Me or you?
I'll go first.
All right. Initial thoughts and nostalgia.
Okay. Initial thoughts. This movie sucks. This movie is not good. It's not Battlefield Earth levels of funny.
No, it's not.
But I am a fan of the Netflix Daredevil show.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen this movie before.
Okay.
So, I admit that there's some elements of this film that may not be the best when it comes to sci-fi. I feel like the whole premise of a man who uses his other senses to operate in real life to a superhuman degree, mm-hmm. to the point where it's like he's able to jump off buildings and all that. I think this movie counts as sci-fi, but it is a little... because sci-fi, like I feel like science fiction is a good excuse to analyze humanity and mm-hmm. all that. And it's just like, oh, what if this guy had, you know, his sight taken away, but his other senses allowed him to become a superhero? How would he be able to operate in real life? And it was just like, oh, okay, this is a poor attempt to explain that. But something I liked when I was watching this film is just like comparing and contrasting how this show handled all the characters
uh-huh.
compared to how this movie did all the characters and how it handled the topic. Compared to how the show does it.
Right.
And the show does it so much better.
Well, the show has more time.
The show has more time, and it has, like, a more artistic vision.
Yeah.
And the show has a good use of color and everything.
Yeah.
Just, like, lighting.
Yeah. I watched the first season.
Yeah, first season is so good. So my nostalgia with this film is I had seen this I hadn't seen the full film. I'd seen bits and pieces like on television, mm-hmm. you know, it would just be like airing or something. And I remember that, I remember specifically the fight scene between Elektra and Daredevil at the end. I remember that fight being like, oh, I can't watch this. It looks so violent and everything. And I look at it now, it's the corniest stuff in the world. It's just like, oh my Lord, this is, but yeah, for me, I think, the positives I'm going to throw out are I kind of like the Jack Murdock stuff. I like how, you know, he's trying to be a good dad. He tried to make it as a boxer. It didn't quite work out. So he started doing jobs for the mob where he would beat people up. He used his wrestling skills to his advantage.
Boxing.
Yeah, boxing. He started to realize, you know, he there was that moment where Matt conveniently sees him doing it near the docks.
Yeah.
I just liked, because I feel like part of it is also dealing with how Jack Murdock was handled in the TV show. And I just have a soft spot for Jack Murdock because I think he's a good character. And so seeing it here, it's just like, yeah, I still like Jack, even though it's maybe to a lesser degree. Bullseye and Kingpin, I think, are really fun. I love the scene when Bullseye kills Elektra's dad, and he goes like, Bullseye, eh? And I love
he points to his head.
Yeah, he points to his chest, then his head, yeah. And then he points at his dad, and then he like whips his cape or his jacket, and every time he does it, a snake hisses or rattles,
right?
And it's just
somebody told Colin Farrell that he's in a superhero movie.
Colin Farrell, like, I was wondering, it's like, is he embarrassed by this film? And when I looked, tried to find up an interview, it's just like, oh, it was hysterical playing this character. It was so fun. But I actually think that Michael Clark Duncan does a good job as Kingpin. He's not Vincent D'Onofrio.
Right.
That's my problem. He's a good villain, but I think Vincent D'Onofrio is a better character. He's a serviceable villain, and he does good with what the writing is, and the writing isn't that great. But
can I ask you a question about Kingpin?
Yes, go ahead.
Isn't Kingpin supposed to like be made of like? Isn't he a mutant too?
I don't know if he. I know. I don't think he's a mutant per se.
Uh-huh.
I know that he's just kind of like large.
Right.
There's a quote from the Spider-Man TV show in the 90s, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man's about to beat up Kingpin, and he's like, hey, maybe you should, maybe I could challenge you to a pie-eating contest. And then Kingpin, like, grabs Spider-Man and goes like, approximately 2% of my body mass is fat. Allow me to show you what 350 pounds of muscle is capable of.
Right, I thought he was super, yeah.
And he's not really fat. He's just large. But you kind of get the impression that he looks fat.
Yeah, I never thought he was fat. I thought that was all, like, muscle. And
okay.
That's what I thought his strength was.
But aside from that, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner are just so awkward in this film.
He wears Kevlar armor. Okay. That's what it was.
He was Kevlar, but Ben Affleck and is so awkward in this film.
Right.
I kind of like Young, the kid who played Young Mac Murdock.
Oh, okay.
He was okay.
Okay.
Although aside from the fact that it somehow is just like, he's decided to do like training, and I go like, why?
Yeah, and how does that?
And the show does a good explanation as to why he was training.
Right.
Like, in the show, there's this whole thing where it's like, you know, his senses were completely overwhelmed, and he doesn't know how to handle it, and he's just like, to this day, like, at a certain point, it's just like, oh God, I'm just in my bed, I'm just hearing everything.
Why was, when we were, with the training montage, why was Daredevil, like, why were we showing and telling at the same time in that spot? They couldn't just stay quiet?
Because Spider-Man has narration.
And
I think Daredevil, this is my interpretation.
Yeah.
Because superhero movies kind of have narration, or comic book movies, or comic books have narration. You know, you see speech bubbles.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I think they're trying to capture that.
Man, another like, you know, using comic books as your...
At least it didn't go...
As your formula for making a movie. I think movies should just like kind of be their own, you know, way of doing things. That's all.
And this soundtrack is just the most like early 2000s soundtrack ever.
Dude, yeah, the song stuck in my head. Evanescence song.
It's an earworm song.
What else you got?
It was nice. It's kind of interesting to see that Jon Favreau was in the film.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because, you know, this is almost like where it's like he got to start with Marvel, and then it's just like he went on to go direct Iron Man, and then he's interacting with Spider-Man, and there's I want to say more, but there's certain spoilers for other things.
Oh, for other segments?
For a recently released film, not just released the other day per se, but released a couple of months ago that I'd still rather try and avoid talking about. Yeah, no, it's interesting to look at how the characters are treated in this. Like Karen Page, she's such an integral character in the show. And here it's just like she only has two scenes.
Right. Is that the girl, is that the actor that plays Aunt Gray from Grey's Anatomy?
Ellen Pump. Yeah.
Wow. I was like, I saw her. I'm like, whoa, I don't remember her being in this. So that's cool. That was cool to see her.
Yeah. It's also interesting to see how the show, how the movie handles match religion, which is barely little. It's just kind of touched upon.
Yeah, I can't believe you even brought that up. I was like so minuscule. I don't even remember him talking about his religion. Okay.
Yeah, but like in the show, it's such an integral part to Matt because it's like his faith in in the Catholic belief and his faith in and being Daredevil.
Are we doing kind of like a dual show here? Like,
I'm not gonna go too much. I'm just gonna like I'm kind of comparing how the show does it. So how the movie does it?
Because I mean, someone might in the future want to talk about Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, I'm not gonna like
stealing their thunder.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I want to talk about the Daredevil show because that feels it's almost hard. Well, I mean, certain you know what? Yeah, okay, I'd be willing to talk about it, but I don't know how much I'd be willing to get. I'm gonna make comparisons, but if we want to save that for a different day, I'll try to avoid going as far as I can, okay. Or going into too much detail.
Okay.
But Ben Affleck is so awkward in the film. He's not good at pretending to be blind, both as an actor and as a character.
Right.
Like the scenes where he's looking up a lot. He's just like Charlie Cox is so great at acting blind.
Yeah.
Because it feels like Ben Affleck is like purposely trying to not look at anything.
Uh huh.
But it's like he's looking up. It's just like, I can't focus on the face. But Charlie Cox, it's just like Charlie Cox is so good at just acting like he's not looking at anything.
Right.
He's just like,
he's blind.
He's just looking like straight all the time. And it's just like, he's not like, you know, turning his eyes to look at certain people. It's just always like straight. I think that's kind of my initial impressions.
Okay.
The story doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
There's a whole subplot in here, Coolio, that I just feel like I forgot. I don't know how that. I feel like I don't understand how that fits into the story. And Matt Murdock is such a bad lawyer in this film. He's constantly forgetting about his stuff, and it's just like he's like, I gotta go hang out with this one girl. I gotta let her beat me up so I can find out her name.
He even like checks his watch and he's like, oh, I'm late for that meeting.
Yeah.
And then he didn't show up for court one day.
I did. Yeah. He's such a terrible lawyer in this compared to Netflix.
And then
show
he's where, like, justice better find you.
Oh something. God! And he kills that one person at the beginning, yeah. And that's one of the worst decisions they could have done. Where it's like, I'm not the bad guy. You killed a guy at the beginning of the movie. And it's just the worst thing you could have done to like get us invested in this guy who's like, who's he doesn't kill anyone else throughout the entire film.
Okay.
The fact that he kills someone at the beginning, it makes me think, why don't you just kill Kingpin at the end? Why don't you just kill Bullseye at the end?
Right. All right, you good? You got it out?
And I guess the relationship between Matt and Foggy is both okay and bad.
Yeah,
it's okay Foggy at times, and Foggy is just eh.
Foggy, I'm going to tell you right now. Foggy is one of the least interesting character of any Marvel person I've ever seen in either movie or TV show.
I think Foggy's good in the show.
Foggy's on the screen and any of the Daredevil stuff, I'm telling you, it puts me in a fog and I want to go to bed. I want to go to sleep.
Season one, he's good. Season two is kind of eh. And season three, I think he's at his best.
I don't care. It's Foggy to me is boring. Boring, boring, boring.
I think I felt similar when I first watched the show.
Yeah.
But on second viewing, it's just like, oh, there's a charm here.
All right. So you're good, Foggy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. My initial thoughts. I think I watched this, or my initial thought, my nostalgia with this. I'm pretty sure I watched this on DVD I didn't go to the movie theaters because it was not, I'm not a Daredevil fan.
Yeah.
Okay. My friend was, and that was cool because like nobody was a Daredevil fan. So he was the fan of that character because that's the kind of guy he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, you guys all like Superman and Batman and whatever. Well, my favorite is Daredevil. He's that guy. So anyways, so I was never a huge Daredevil fan, but I did have two comic books of Daredevil. Two. Okay. Because I collected comic books growing up. I had a comic book that had featured Daredevil versus Bullseye, right? Where he beats Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having spoilers.
Yeah.
And then I have a comic book. It was like a big issue of Daredevil where the Daredevil forgives Kingpin, right?
Forgives Kingpin.
And I had that. I had two comic books, like two random Daredevil comics, and that's what happened in this movie. You know, like he beat up the Kingpin and he didn't kill him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just like in this movie. So like
where he lets him live.
He lets him live, okay. Right. In the comic book, he forgave him for everything.
I do know that that scene where Bullseye stabs Elektra is like straight from the comics.
Sure. I'll take your word for it. So unfortunately, when I watched this movie initially, I'm like, oh, Kingpin and Bullseye are in this? Yeah, I know exactly how this is going to end. And it did. So end that way.
I mean, I feel like the hero beating up the villains is definitely going to be a thing.
Yeah, but like you think like he's going to die. Like you're going to, you know, the bad guy's going to die. Like the Joker in Batman in 89. You know?
They were certainly setting up for a sequel with this film. It's like, absolutely. Oh, they'll be back.
Oh, I know. Well, when the bad guys don't die, but the good guys die, and it's like, well, I mean, the good guy helpers. Mm-hmm. Elektra, I'm sorry, I thought Elektra was dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Like, you're right to think that, because, like, how could any person get stabbed like that, have their heart stopped, and then come back to life?
With their own sigh, I guess. So that's where I'm starting from. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be watching some cool effects, and you know, and then the soundtrack kept me pumped because it was the soundtrack of today.
Cool back effects. Then.
Yeah. I don't know. At the time, they were okay. I don't know, but watching it now, I'm like, man, it's a cartoon. I'm watching a cartoon.
Oh yeah, that scene when Daredevil's in the alley and he just jumps.
Yeah, like, all the Mario. Running, all the running. I don't understand why you CGI a running guy, like a running scene. I don't get that. I don't get it. So, and then the kid, so I'm going to start at the beginning. Like my initial thoughts was like the kid getting bullied, you know, in the beginning. I'm like, oh my God, how many movies start out this way with kid getting
Why
bullied?
Why would the bullies continue to bully a blind kid?
I don't know.
Hey,
round two. Like this, cut.
This kid can't even see us coming. This makes our job so much easier.
Yeah, we're still, and still just don't like this kid for no reason.
Hitting their fists.
Yeah.
It's just like, this.
He's got a dad that loves him. Let's kick his butt. My dad doesn't love me. Like, let's, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
now I'm just thinking of like a skit where it's just, oh, it's the Key and Peele skit where it's like the bully's just like, he's like explaining his deep inner turmoil at the fact that his parents doesn't love him, or his parents doesn't love him, and he's having feelings about another boy, and he doesn't want to admit the fact that he's gay.
Yeah, exactly. These bullies all have to be gay. And so, because I mean, what else is the reason?
Yeah.
Anyways, so we got the Stan Lee cameo really early, like in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Like super early. Like the kid stops him from getting hit with the car, which is funny.
R.I.P. Stan Lee.
R.I.P. Oh, man. It was cool. Like at the time watching these Marvel movies, I'm like, oh, man, we get to see Stan Lee in a cool spot. It's just funny. It's just fun. That's like a fun part of the movie.
It's nice that Stan Lee was being acknowledged.
Yeah. And then like heavy reference to the Batman with the rose. Come on. Rose on the ooh. So I mean, like, okay, Batman's your inspiration. I get it.
Yeah, if I were killed in an alleyway, it's very
is,
much.
Is Daredevil and Batman kind of like the thing? Like, are they supposed to be like is because I thought Iron Man and Batman were kind of like.
Well, Iron Man wasn't really all that popular until the movie came out.
No, I'm not talking about popularity wise. Okay. Like, you know. Like it seems like they have comparable characters on each side, DC and Marvel, right?
Okay, so Batman is there are so many people that compare Batman to other Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll say like Daredevil, they'll say like Moonlight,
right?
But there's no real comparison to make, because, you know, Marvel doesn't really have, I don't think they really have a Superman. They don't really have a Wonder Woman or all these things. They have just their own version.
I got you. I'm always trying to make comparisons. I'm simple-minded, I guess.
Oh yeah, but you can look at it a certain way and go like, oh, I see. It's why I was saying it's like Daredevil is a combination of Batman and Spider-Man.
Right. Okay. was there a boob flash I saw in the bar scene?
She was lifting up her shirt, but I don't think you see it.
Okay, I thought there was a lot of boob for a Marvel film. I was like,
it's
whoa.
Not a Marvel movie though. It's Fox.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes more sense. They had more. They had less restrictions back then.
Yeah, 20th Century Fox.
Okay, cool. I was like, whoa! Like, I've never seen that in a superhero film. That was interesting. You know, it's a bold choice.
The last boob I ever saw in a superhero film was, I think, Logan.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's Logan's a good one.
Okay, I gotta check that one out.
It's a really, really good one.
I heard it was, because it's rated R, right?
Yes, it's Hugh Jackman's departure from the Wolverine character.
Now, didn't like Ryan Reynolds? Well, because I watched Deadpool, and was he all mad because he was hoping Deadpool would be like the first rated R?
No, his Deadpool was the first rated R.
Oh, and then Hugh Jackman did his?
And then Hugh Jackman did it. But there's a joke in Deadpool 2 where he goes like, F Wolverine.
Yeah.
The fact that like that was, Wolverine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Like, why is Daredevil so athletic? Did the toxic waste make him like way more like a ninja?
I don't know how or why he trains, unlike the Netflix show where I understand why he trained.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
He's suddenly just a ninja.
Yeah.
He suddenly just is all this really athletic. He's able to do all these things.
Right.
But like in the show, Stick, who appears in Elektra, weirdly enough, he's just like, okay, I'm blind. I'm also doing this. So you just, one of the things that drove me nuts is the fact that this Daredevil just almost seems to completely rely on sound.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not, I don't know 100% if this is comic accurate, but it's just like when you rely on other senses, you're relying on other things. Okay. The only time I can really understand if like his senses go haywire is just like if there's an explosion and there's that explosion at the motorbike and it's just like he's trying to grab the thing,
right?
It's like, okay, his senses kind of got a little dulled right there. I could get why he misses that,
right?
But like he should hear that train coming and he should prepare himself for that.
Not when it's like right there already.
Yeah, where it's just like he should know that train is coming.
The C train
way before. No.
Not the C train. There's a train before the C train.
Yeah, but the train comes, yeah. And it's just like he should know it's like,
wait, he should have spider sense?
Well, no, he should hear it coming.
Yeah,
because his senses are.
Wouldn't spider sense be a sense that gets
a little
attuned?
Bit? I guess, but it's like super heightened, and he should know it's like, okay, it's like 30 seconds away. I need to get this done. I need to mentally prepare myself.
All
and
right.
Even if his senses are overloaded, he should know it's like, okay, I can smell the gun or the gunpowder. It's about to click. I can feel the vibrations.
Right. Okay. So I got, you got Ben Affleck playing your main character, right? Which I find at this time, 2003, I had a problem with because I got Mallrats on the brain as Shannon, and I got, AJ was cool, kind of helped break the mold, but I also have Dazed and Confused, which is a little bit earlier, as O'Banion, right? So, like, he's playing kind of like bad guys, or not likable guys.
Oh, yeah.
So then you give him the feet, and then, I mean, AJ, it helps his image a little bit in Armageddon, but, like, he's just, at this point of my life, I don't like Ben Affleck.
Especially the fact that he, like, kind of stalks Elektra.
Yeah.
It's just like
it was very like this scene, I was kind of like, you know, I'm looking at it through today's eyes, right? Like he uses his disability to get the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of like creepy.
Yeah. And that's something that it's like I was saying earlier, he does not try to hide the fact that he's blind compared to the show where Matt is always trying to hide the fact that he's blind. Oh, I said that wrong. In this movie, Matt is not trying to hide the fact that he can that he's not really blind. He's beyond blind. He has superhuman senses. He's trying to hide his superhuman senses, and he's not doing any job at all hiding the fact that he's getting the fights with people. And it's just, how about that one scene when he steals the car?
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Yeah, he stole the car.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're back to Jennifer Gardner. Mm-hmm. She was like an It Girl, Alias. You pack the movie with like all these like up and coming or mid level, kind of like actors. No one was like super strong, and it's not an all star cast. I mean, I think it's all, I got problems with the casting. I'm telling you right now. We'll talk about that later. The C train sequence was very corny and really wasn't the right choice. I think to kill somebody right off the bat.
Damages the character.
Yeah,
to the point where it
does.
It's likable.
It's like it's anti-saving the cat.
I should save this for how to fix it.
It's like I said, it's hard to see Ben Affleck as a hero at this point in my life. It was cool to see Jon Favreau again. I love the Fight Club reference. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. I was like Coolio, awesome. What was with the paper clips in the mouth of Bullseye?
He uses that as a weapon. That happened at the beginning of the film.
Oh, is that how he killed that one guy that made fun of him?
Yeah, he had that like paper clip. You see the paper clip? And then he broke it up into little pieces and they flings it at people.
I gotcha. So then that's a weapon.
So he always has a weapon on him.
Wow.
He can weaponize peanuts.
All right. And I have a big problem with his like forehead like knife design. I don't know. That's not a tattoo. That's like a carving.
Yeah, it's a carving.
It's
so silly.
It's so dumb. It's so stupid.
No one would
looking.
Ever do that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate.
I think the comic book guy just has a mask that, has the the drawing of the bullseye.
Yeah, but he even says, "I want a costume."
Yeah, I want a costume because he's talking about the one the comic book character. He doesn't get one right. So I don't know. I had I was like, oh, Colin Farrell's in this movie. I totally forgot about that. And then as I watch it, I was excited at the beginning, and I had to scratch it out. No, it wasn't cool.
Oh, it wasn't cool, but it was really funny.
It was funny, and like he goes up the escalator.
I know. just the reason why he has his hands up, like he's Jesus.
Yeah, that's the thing, because he gets shot in the hands and has like the nail holes in his hand. Is he trying to be like a Jesus? I mean, is that what they're going for? Oh, that was some like weak sauce. Dude.
That he looks at that dog and it just lies down.
Or he kills the lady with the peanut in the.
you're disgracing Colin Farrell's performance every time he shows up in this film. It like elevates it
so
to a 10.
I asked you yesterday. I go when I started watching the film. I go, are you making fun of this film or do you think this film is good?
I have a weird fascination with this film.
And I'm watching Colin Farrell. I'm like, oh, this is why a major problem, a major reason why Roger picked this film is
this. And Michael Clark Duncan is also kind of fun.
What's his name?
Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark Duncan. I'm telling you, I said it in the pitch. Mm-hmm. It's terrible casting. He's a good guy. You look at him as a good guy. You root for him. All right.
He made
the whole Green Mile because he was on trial for being a bad guy. They thought he was a bad guy.
He has a really intimidating voice.
Yeah, that's fine and dandy. But even in Talladega Nights, you just love him. You just laugh with him.
I don't know. I think he does a good even then, where it's like he's doing all this intimidating stuff. I just enjoy his presence.
Here I'm gonna sum it up. You got in my mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm entitled to my opinions. In my mind, you've got unlikable main character playing the good guy,
mm-hmm.
and a likable, lovable person.
Well, I feel like
actor
that-
playing a bad guy. And I'm like, I have problems with that right off the
bat. Well, I feel like even then where it's just like, I almost enjoy his presence because compared to when you're with that, it's just like, oh, hey, it's Michael Clark Duncan.
Right.
Oh, he's killing his bodyguards. Oh, that's fun.
that's not fun. It's awkward. It's like weird.
Because you know why he did it?
What?
Because he's talking about, it's like, oh, people leaked information about you.
Yeah, and he thought it was them.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was them.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I get it. I caught that on this watch.
Yeah.
So... I'm going to sum it up, my initial thoughts with this. When I heard the Evanescence song, I'm like, this song sums up this whole movie completely. All right.
Okay.
It's a song that was cool when it was then, when it was around, right? The Evanescence song, I forgot the name of it, but it's, you know, it's the song. And that's it. Like, this movie was cool for about 5 minutes. And then it was done. Yes. Just like Evanescence.
I will admit, there are very long portions where I don't care.
Yeah. This is just like a product.
It's only when the villains show up that I start to care.
Yeah. Evanescence and this movie were a product for that time. Mm-hmm. This was like a factory-made movie. There was like nothing but money on the brain for Evanescence. Their music had like zero like depth to it. It was all like, oh, I'm sad, and all my songs are about sad and tearjerkers and whatever. And this movie had no soul. It was like just a soulless movie, just like Evanescence was. And it was just there to make money at the time and then go away and never be heard of again. Like, I totally forgot everything about this film. This film was zero memorable in my film career, my film, you know, study life, and I forgot about this film, and I'm, you know, kind of disappointed that you brought it up and made me watch it again and waste more of my life having to digest this.
I'll say this, like, just that fight scene, it stuck out to me when I was a kid. That fight scene when Bullseye kills Elektra.
So,
Bullseye fights Daredevil.
I will have sweet lasting revenge. Sweet lasting revenge. Okay, let's go on to the interpretation, please. Oh, what were you saying? Finish your thought.
You throw stuff at me, Leto. I'm going to throw even worse stuff at you.
All right. What's your interpretation?
They wanted to cash in on superhero trends. Love.
Why are you laughing? Love ? Is their theme.
Religion?
Religion.
I mean, Matt Murdock is Catholic, and...
He is?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. Well, maybe because they were in the cemetery.
Yeah, okay. He goes there, the father goes like, oh,
that's
confession,
right,
totally
the father. It's so, like, I just watched it and I forgot all of it. Nothing was memorable.
I mean, it's memorable to me. You say it's not memorable. There's plenty of stuff that's memorable to me. There's, you know, we talk about how Matt Murdock is religious, and the scene when Colin Farrell is just has his hands out.
That was funny. Yeah.
It needed more. This movie needed more Colin Farrell and Kingpin. Just like the scene when Colin Farrell, when Bullseye.
Are they trying to parody a Marvel movie or superhero movies? Is that what they were going with?
I don't know.
The
I think
parody?
They were just doing their own thing.
Oh, boy.
The director of this film went on to make Ghost Rider.
Oh, gosh. That wasn't too bad. Nicolas Cage, though.
Yeah. Maybe,
so I give him a pass.
Maybe a weaker sauce Nicolas Cage than we usually get. But it needed more Bullseye. It needed more of him coming in and, like, killing guards. And it was just like,
doesn't he kill a guy just for the fun of it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, that guy. Was that necessary? Necessary? No. But it was fun. the look on the dead guy's face is just like, this is the dumbest thing in the world.
This movie, man, I can't believe stuff like this got made in Hollywood back in the day.
I mean, I can't believe some of the stuff that's getting made in Hollywood today.
Okay. Touche. All right. Are you ready for my thoughts on the interpretation, or are you still going?
Money, religion, faith. I mean, it's like Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson are just keep getting these terrible jobs. And it's like, why don't we get more expensive jobs? And it's just like, Matt Murdock's trying to keep some level of integrity or something. Deals with like a double life and things like that. Do you want to be Matt Murdock with the love life, or do you want to be Daredevil? Is there a way to do both?
Classic superhero like problems.
Yeah. I guess not much left in terms of interpretation.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna start mine with I'm not the bad guy, kid.
Oh God! That scene where he's like moping. It's like I'm not the bad. The way they do it in the show.
If I can answer for the kid, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be like, yes, you are.
Oh God! I wrote this one thing down. I wrote this one thing down when he breaks into the building. It's just like I love how the guy is like running away. And it's just like, okay, I made it back to my house. It's just like, he just is like, okay. Oh God, that scene where she goes like, well, that was a crazy day of crime. Now it's time to go lie down and, oh God, Daredevil broke into my house.
Exactly. You are the bad guy, Daredevil. You are the bad guy.
The way the shot of that scene is framed is just like, it's so weird. It's just like, you'd get Daredevil. The way it should have gone is just like, Daredevil should have stopped the guy before he got in.
Yeah. Not only is Justice blind, mm-hmm. but the hero is like blind for, you know, that he's the bad guy, you know, internally. So like,
you're saying a blind man is blind?
Huh?
Are you saying a blind man is blind?
Well, a blind man is blind to like his motivation. You know what I mean? Like this is a pro vigilante film. All right. This film is saying that vigilante justice is cool and should be done.
Are you sure? He does a lot of moping in this film, and it's really uncool.
He'll still do it. So like, what this film is saying is like, when the system fails you, when the law fails you, mm-hmm. just take the law into your own hands and take care of it, you know? Which is not a great message.
Not the best.
Yeah. Hell's Kitchen, Daredevil. I mean, come on.
Does Hell's Kitchen have
the devil of Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is a devil, you know, like pro
The show goes into this, and it's just like the fact that he's taken on the appearance of a devil, and the fact that he's a good Christian boy. It's just almost.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's like, you're playing with both sides. I get mm-hmm. it. I get it. I totally get it. But I'm totally bored. And I totally don't care. I just want to get through it. I just got to get through it. So. What's your story behind the story?
Okay, so the director's cut cuts a lot of scenes out. Some of them include, I think, the first scene with Kingpin. I think the airport scene was cut out, which thank God they put it back in.
When he goes through the metal detector?
No, just the whole, I think, airport scene in general. There are more scenes. The introduction of Bullseye arriving at the airport and going through a metal detector. The fight scene in the playground with Matt and Elektra is longer. The scene in the bar where Daredevil takes out the bikers is longer and more violent.
Yeah.
Coolio wasn't in the original cut.
They cut out Coolio completely?
Yeah. The subplot involving the character of Dante Jackson, Coolio, who is accused of a murder, is reintroduced in its entirety with Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson defending him. Matt and Foggy break into the apartment of Lisa Tazio, the murder victim in the Dante Jackson trial, and finding a clue.
What are you reading so we can quote our sources?
It's IMDb. It's on IMDb. IMDb alternate versions.
Gotcha.
So anything involving Coolio was cut out.
Rightfully so, it should have been cut out. He looked like he didn't belong in the film. Like, what are you here for? It could have been anybody. Did it have to be Coolio? Like, he was terrible acting. It was
Coolio because he's cool, EO.
Oh, I get it.
I mean, do you remember that one scene where he showed up for like a second in Batman and Robin?
No.
He's like at the drag race that Batgirl is going to. And it's just like, he's like, I don't know, the MC or something there?
I don't know. Coolio should not have been in the film. I think he was rightfully cut, and I think it doesn't work. So, like I said, anytime they went to the Coolio in the court, I was checking up.
Oh yeah, no, you know, like rightfully so. That's maybe some of the worst bits of the film. Like anything involving law in this film,
yeah.
Like lawyer stuff. It's just like I check out.
I did the same thing. Nothing was interesting. Nothing
because every time that's why you go like You go like, oh, I think Michael Clark Duncan was horribly cast. I'm so excited whenever I see Michael Clark Duncan because I go like, hey, a nice familiar presence. And it's just like, oh, there's, it's that mopey dreariness. It's fun. The guy is having, these people are having fun.
Well, oh, Colin Farrell's having the time of his life.
Yes. It's, oh my God.
But
the peanut scene where, oh, the he, peanuts, just,
yeah,
where I mean, he just like, flicks a peanut into grandma's throat and that yeah. causes her to choke to death. And it's just like, oh, thank God. And this
he was
is,
wearing headphones. He didn't have to listen to her. So
where are we at?
You are telling me stories behind the stories.
I know that after Daredevil, they made Elektra.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to see, it's like, do people still have interest in this? Do we want to make another Daredevil movie? And then they made Elektra and it bombed horribly. It was one of the worst... It's often regarded as one of the worst superhero movies ever made.
Well, like I said, because, I mean, I thought she was dead. How do you make a movie about someone who's dead?
I wonder if it says... Okay. Matt and Terry getting corrupt... Oh, yeah, the Matt and Terry a corrupt cop. That was in the director's cut. The film, the fights, the final confrontation, dirt... Nope. Yeah, so that Netflix is just put there to just let you know she's out there somehow.
Okay.
Whoopity-doo.
Okay. It's not, I mean, she wasn't very interesting. That fight between those two, oh my gosh. It was so
which
corny.
One?
It's all corny. The first one. The first one was way corny.
Oh God, I'm just now, you just made me think about it. The way before the fight starts, where it's like they're taking off their jackets, it looks like the cutscene to a Mortal Kombat game where it's just like they're trying to like interact and then suddenly just they got a fight.
Yeah.
And it's like it cuts to that one angle and it like zooms out. It's like this really looks like it's a Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat fight's about to break
and then
out.
Then they get in their stance. Like, how did he know that she was proficient at a martial art? Like, how could he sense that?
Did they explain that?
I don't know.
They explain her training?
But I understand the courtship. Like, ooh, I found a woman that could best me in combat. Like, oh, this is attractive.
Why did it have to bust out into a fight? If I were
because he was creeping on her, bro. She was threatened.
Like, I get that, but it's just like at a certain point, wouldn't you just like try and run away? I mean. There's no winning against the. There's no matter how you approach it. There's no winning a blind man fight. If you get into a fight with a blind man and you beat him up, it's like, okay, congratulations, you beat up a blind man.
I know, isn't that the joke at the end? You're gonna tell people at Rutgers Island that you got beat up by a blind man.
Oh yeah, and it's like if you lose the fight, you got beat up by a blind man. Yeah. How do you win this situation?
Isn't that a joke about like getting kicked in the butt with a one-legged man and. Ass-kicking contest or something.
That's
like that.
Daredevil. That's Deadpool. Oh,
Deadpool. Okay, gotcha.
Have you ever heard the story about the one-legged guy in the ass-kicking contest?
Anyways, this is so like wrong for the times. Like this, yeah. This was
no, Deadpool. It's appropriate for the times. Early 2000s.
Early 2003, absolutely.
Early 2000s was completely Edge.
And this is why we do this sci-fi rewind. I get it, to like see things through our eyes and like see how we progressed as like movie and storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is some wild stuff.
CGI has come a long way.
Oh yeah, CGI.
We're no longer in
character
the
character building.
We're no longer in that awkward Daredevil Catwoman era.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Catwoman CGI is so bad.
Right. So I think there was nothing really interesting, but I did find it interesting that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Gardner like got married after this. Not. They must have like obviously met on this film,
mm-hmm.
but I think he was going out with Jennifer Lopez or married to her even. I don't even know.
Immediately after this, he made Geely and
right.
I think that haunts him to this day.
Yeah, that's like one of the worst movies ever made.
Lito, do you want to talk about that?
It's not sci-fi. We're not going to talk about it.
Do you want to talk about it after the show?
I don't want to talk about it, but. So I thought that was kind of like, some, here's Ben Affleck, young kid, in Hollywood, and hooking up with his co-stars and stuff. I mean, it's stuff dreams are made of, actually. So
this is
more power to him, which is another reason I hate the guy. And then
this was absolutely the low point of his career.
I would say so. But I mean, hooking up with Jennifer Gardner can't be all that bad. But
until he cheated on her.
Well, and yeah, they went to 2018. They got divorced. So yeah, I mean, it didn't end well. But it is what it is. He, you know, hopefully, you know, he's got his mistakes and he can live from them or learn from them.
Hey, at the very least, we still have the sad Affleck memes.
I was searching around. Like, is there a documentary that they made about this movie?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
So I'm just going to sum up my stories, man. Try to find that documentary and watch it if you're interested more on behind the scenes stuff, because that probably explains a lot of what's going on.
Wouldn't that just be behind the scenes footage?
I don't know. When I was looking through IMDb earlier, I thought I saw a Daredevil documentary behind the scenes. So I'm like, oh, if there's one of those, definitely check it out if you're interested in this film and want to know how this came to be and want to know more about this story behind the story. So, all right. So, Raj.
Okay.
How can you make it better?
Well, don't have Daredevil kill that guy at the beginning of the film.
Obviously.
You have him, it's just like, oh, God, the trait's coming, help. Oh, God, I promise I won't do... And then you have Daredevil pull him up and save the guy. It's just like he's terrified for life.
Yeah, or that guy goes on to kill his brother or somebody.
You have him kill Foggy.
Yeah, oh, perfect, yes. Great idea, yes. Let's lead with that. I love it. Kill Foggy.
Maybe there's certain moments in the Daredevil Elektra relationship that I kind of like. There's a scene where he goes to her at the party and she's not angry, and I just go like, that's kind of refreshing. Where it's just like, you weren't there for me that day. It's just like, oh, she's still kind of cares. That's appreciated. There's one moment where at the end, he goes like, bullseye failed, where Kingpin goes, bullseye failed. Daredevil will come here. And I go like, how? You have given no clues as to the fact that you're Kingpin?
I love that you catch this stuff.
You've given no way of implicating yourself. Did you just assume that Bullseye would say that you're the Kingpin? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
You need a more strong reason for why Daredevil is training.
Oh, I found it. The Man Without Fear, Creating Daredevil, full documentary. Now, is this the movie about the movie, or is this about the?
This could just be the behind the scenes footage.
Is it about the movie, or is it about the actual, creating the character?
I honestly, God, don't know what this is.
Oh, I think it might be the character. I think it might be the. Whoops. It might be the actual comic book character.
Yeah.
All right, I get it. It came out around the same time. So it's if you're interested in more about the character, I guess then. Sorry to plug that little YouTube feed film.
You need more interest. You really need to play with the fact that Matt is a lawyer. You know, it's just like he's a good lawyer, or something like that, or just the fact that he's trying to be a lawyer. Like, have him really commit to his work or something. You don't want your first instance of him losing a lawyer case.
Right.
It's just like, it just makes you feel like he just sucks. And even the fact that they have the report card at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it shows that he has all the A's. He is smart despite what everything this movie has him do. Apparently, Matt Murdock is supposed to be smart.
Yeah, but then it doesn't matter because he can't tell his dad, and that's all that he cares about is just pleasing his papa.
Oh yeah, and that's a stark contrast to what the show did. Matt hid everything. The fact that he has super heightened senses from everyone, unless it's like somehow someone learns.
Right.
Let's see, what else is there? More scenes with Bullseye and Kingpin. Because their scenes are super enjoyable for me.
Yeah. The bad guys are always fun. More fun than the superhero.
Just always have it that, like, Kingpin has more bodyguards. It's just like... someone ran at us again. I gotta kill my bodyguards.
That's so funny. That's a great idea.
It doesn't fake. Maybe it's like, maybe Wesley is revealing
the info. It just has to be the podcast.
Maybe it's just like we cut to him, and it's a scene where they just bring out the bodies. It's just like, well, he killed more of them.
Daredevil shows up, and it's like Kingpin and a bodyguard. He just
I was
kills
gonna take
body.
Out your bodyguards, but they're just in the hallway. Did you kill them?
Yeah. What if Kingpin says the line? And then Daredevil goes, "Was that necessary?" And he's like, "No, but it was fun."
It's like. I've had some dead guys. It's like, which ones? The ones that had pencils in them, or were they strangled? Because I kind of
keep kinda hiring guys.
Yeah, Wesley, more bodyguards.
It's just like Wesley's on the phone. He's just like, yeah, sir. Yeah, he just keeps killing people.
Isn't that how they get to Kingpin? Actually, is Wesley turns on him?
Yeah, in stark contrast to the show, where Wesley is 100% loyal right. And would never rat out Kingpin.
Yeah, that guy who played Wesley was you could tell he was just like a weasel and
yeah.
save his own skin kind of guy. It's just like that's what the vibe you get from him.
Maybe we don't need because I think in the comics, Elektra is a mercenary,
mm-hmm.
and each time. We've had Elektra because she appears in the show. Each time they just kind of have.
She does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In season two.
I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Does the Punisher show up too?
Yeah, Punisher is the best. The Punisher is the best part of season two.
I know. I wanted to get to that, but I couldn't make it through these foggy scenes. Sorry.
The foggy.
Boring.
Foggy. Okay.
And who's the female? She's good, though.
Karen Page.
She's great. And she does D&D. YouTube videos, which is awesome. What's her real name?
Karen Page.
Yeah, we should.
I mean, we were focusing on that, but I'll look at Karen Page. She is played by Deborah Ann Wool.
Yeah, look her up on YouTube. She does a great show with like D&D, like they do like little D&D.
Is it Geek and Sundry that she's on?
I don't know. Just look her up and it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this person's awesome. This person's pretty cool mm-hmm. if they're you know in Marvel films.
Did you finish Daredevil season one?
Yes.
Okay, because Daredevil.
I loved it.
Daredevil season two. That's
I have to finish that.
Yeah, because opening episode, that's when the Punisher shows up of Daredevil season two.
No.
He does.
Then maybe I didn't finish season one. I had to have finished season one. I know I finished season one. The Kingpin dies.
No. We're doing
the TV show.
We're doing we're cutting this bit out right here. Potential spoilers. But Daredevil, we might cut this stuff out.
Who's the guy that gets killed in the door? The Kingpin kills that guy in the door.
The door?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Which one? Are we talking about the doors?
Guy the Kingpin killed. The Kingpin dies, man. I thought.
No. He doesn't die at season one. He's sent to jail.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we got the door. Are you talking about.
That's the Kingpin kills somebody in the door with the door.
With a car?
With a car door, yeah. Maybe that's, an Asian guy or something.
That's how far you got?
No, I got way past that. But I thought that's how the Kingpin died, I guess.
Wait, I don't understand.
I'm confused. I'm really confused.
Because he kills someone with a car door.
Right.
But that's episode 4 of 13.
All right. Yeah, there's so many episodes of Foggy talking, and I just like, oh, God, I just want to fast forward, but I can't. I don't want to miss anything, but I guess I want to. I just want to get to the Punisher. I never did.
It's always good to have someone watch, because I watch it with my brother.
So boring. Those Foggy scenes just kill the momentum.
It's hard to say. I feel like Foggy is a character that might not, that you know people have different feelings on. I liked Foggy, but season two, I'll say this, he's worse.
Okay.
Season two is the worst season of Daredevil.
Okay.
Because the Punisher stuff in season two is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The Elektra stuff is where it starts to get worse, uh-huh. and Foggy gets even more annoying. But he gets better in season three.
Okay.
He's like at his best in season three.
All right.
And.
We digress. We got to finish back here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what else you got for making it better?
Maybe less of the kid Matt Murdock stuff.
Okay.
We don't. Oh, also the fact that it's like Jack the Devil Murdock.
Yeah, the
there's
dad.
There's no subtlety in that. It's just like you instantly go like, there's this devil guy around Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And it,
nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? Okay.
Matt Murdock is really not trying to hide his identity.
Right.
In this, and it's just like.
They even play with that in the film. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to expose you. Like, mm-hmm. don't do it, please. I'll be ruined. And he's like, but I'm a journalist. And I thought, like, that was right, the right call. Like, be the journalist. Like, expose the guy. Mm-hmm. And then he deletes it. And I'm like, oh.
Go get him, Matt.
Yeah, go get that sequel.
I mean, Ben Affleck went on to become Batman.
I know. I hear you.
He was all right.
He was fine. He was fine in Batman.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I got. I would cast no Ben Affleck. Get rid of Ben Affleck.
That's fair.
I will cast a no-namer, like you said, like this guy that is doing a Daredevil now. He'll put a little bit more heart into it and a little bit more work, a little bit more like background on how to like act like a blind person. You don't got to be like staring out the space.
Any way we say we want to fix this film,
yeah.
It's basically a Netflix Daredevil show that is now being moved to Disney Plus.
Gotcha. Oh, cool. And then the fight love scenes has to go with the seesaws. I mean, all of that is corny. The lawyer stuff is boring. I'd get rid of it. All the lawyer stuff.
Because that's Matt Murdock.
I hear
you. You need to make them more interesting. You need to give a more interesting crime case that's going on.
The casting is off. You got to flip it. I would want to see Michael Clark Duncan as the Daredevil and Ben Affleck as the Kingpin, and I'd be so much more right. I'd feel more right about this film.
I feel like one of the reasons Michael Clark
who could barely Duncan works looks like he could barely stand in this film.
Michael Clark Duncan, I think, works because he has like a good. Big physique,
yeah,
and that's appropriate for Kingpin.
Yeah, no, like physically, he's great. Yeah, but like,
but when you have it that it's like, if you were to do that, what you just suggested, and it's just like, he goes up. You need that like contrast where it's like the underdog fighting the bigger guy, sure. Or something like that. But it's just like, if Michael Clark Duncan came in dressed as the Daredevil costume, he's like gonna beat up small little.
Right,
and he's and like Ben Affleck is throwing him all over the
room. Now that's a movie you would like to see, right?
It's the stupidest thing in the world. How did you get so strong? Exactly. Oh my god, I can't beat you up.
Radioactive material, man. What else? Well, it's radioactive, bud.
That's stupid.
I wouldn't kill Elektra at the end. I think that was.
Have it that she falls over.
Yeah,
or something,
and there you go.
Like fall
or,
over the
or
ledge.
Passes
of the
out. Like he knocks her out. You know, something like that.
You know, like stab her, and then it's just like he's looking over at Daredevil. It's just like with Elektra in hand, it just goes like ah. It just tosses her over something. oh my god! The scene where he's beating up Elektra, and he goes like, "Yo, good baby." But me, and he extends his hand, and he just like flicks it, and then a card comes out. And it goes like, "My magic," and it goes like, "Why did you need to do that?"
Was she dead from the card? Did the card kill her?
No. I think it's just
that was a graze.
I think that's just the worst paper cut ever.
Oh, it's
just
okay.
She
doesn't even
god.
Like grab at it. She just like lets it kind of bleed.
Ah,
like it doesn't hurt. I'm tough. She was totally like Batgirl. Like if you ask me, like it was like. The same person.
The fact that we're going into a relationship with Batman, that's creepy.
Dude, and all the music that lined up with the action was kind of weird. Like, you know what I mean? It was like a two on the nose. When she's doing the killing of all those bags that would just drop out of nowhere, that she had set up. Like, did she have this little obstacle course set up in her house? Like, I mean,
when we're first introduced to Kingpin and Bullseye, it's like, the first song that goes like da 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 da, I'm an outlaw. or when you get to Bullseye and it's like the most Irish song ever.
Oh my god!
It's just like oh come on.
It's the director's horrible. horrible director. I would fix Bullseye's forehead, get rid of that thing, whatever that thing was.
Yeah, just give him a costume.
That was so
just
dumb.
Just give him a costume.
There's no, like, unless you show it happening and his head getting bloodied, carved in, that'd be cool, but, like, there's no reason for it. It looks stupid. He touches it.
Be just as dumb as Heath Ledger's damaged tattoo.
What?
Jared Leto's damaged tattoo on when he was Joker, and it's like he has a tattoo that's just damaged.
That's so bad. So I would do that. I would turn this into a I would make a Daredevil film, but I would make it a silent film.
And then
think about that one.
They did a movie. They did a video game actually very recently called The Quiet Man, and you can't hear anything.
Uh huh.
And like there will be pivotal scenes of like dialogue that's going on, and you can't hear what they're saying, and there's no subtitles.
Right. So I would make a silent film version of Daredevil just to see what would happen. And I think that'd be kind of fun.
Check out The Quiet Man if that's the case. It's one of the worst video games ever made.
One thing we haven't talked about, I would eliminate Kevin Smith from this film.
Yeah.
This isn't Mallrats. We don't need to be like bringing our buddies in and like giving them bit parts. I get it.
Well, I mean, that scene is probably where Ben put two and two together and it's like, okay.
Kevin Smith playing the guy in the basement, figuring everything out. Okay. It's just campy. He's campy. You know what I mean? If you're trying to make a serious film, don't put Kevin Smith in it.
I don't know if this movie is trying to be serious.
It is trying to be serious.
Because there's all those stupid scenes that happen.
They don't know what they're doing. It's clear.
There's that moment. There's the playground fight.
Yeah, I know.
And I go like, is this movie trying to be serious?
That's what my question was to you. Are you trying to make fun of this film or are you like taking this seriously?
Because I have this weird fascination. I don't know what I'm doing with this film.
Tell me.
I don't know if this movie was trying to be serious or if the people were laughing making this film.
And another Battlefield Earth, thanks for, yeah.
Because like Battlefield Earth, they were making seriously. Right. They were making 100% seriously.
But and that's, it came out campy.
That's why that movie is funny.
Okay.
Is because they were 100% serious and it's a movie where they all fall on their face.
Okay.
This one, it's just like, there's so many stupid scenes that go on.
Right.
And it's just like, it really does feel campy. Like, the movie knows it's campy. And in that realm, I don't know if they're taking it seriously or not. It almost feels like a Fast and the Furious movie.
Sure. I can see that.
Where it's like, they're not taking themselves seriously, and it's just like, okay, we're gonna do this impossible thing where Daredevil jumps off a building and he falls like 100 stories, and then use a whip, and now he's whipping through the city streets and all that. And it's just like,
pretend it's Batman.
That would kill a man instantly. He's not like super strong or anything.
Right.
It's not like he was given super strength.
He wasn't given super strength. That's not one of his things.
He just has heightened senses.
Right.
That would like break his arm and then cause him to pop off, and then he would fall to his death.
Right. I don't understand it. This movie makes no sense. And once again, shame on the filmmakers for pushing this out to the world.
I'm going to say thank you because you gave us Colin Farrell as Bullseye.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a weird conundrum. And I'm going to say this. Maybe if this film wasn't as bad as it is, we wouldn't have gotten the Netflix show and they wouldn't have learned from the previous mistakes.
True. Okay. what do you, if people like this film and this is their cup of tea, what do you recommend they watch?
Well, I would certainly recommend the Netflix Daredevil show. Maybe try and buy it in physical format. I don't know if Disney is going to try and censor the show when it gets moved to Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. A bunch of the Batman movies. There's so many to list, but the Spider-Man movies. X-Men was also around this time. There's so many to kind of keep track. If you want a movie that's really campy and but also has like a serious edge to it, the original Superman movie. It's just like, oh, that movie's so silly, but it does have like these really good dramatic moments. I think that might be about it.
Okay, cool. So I have, if you like that kind of like throwing fights type boxing type of movie, which I found the beginning kind of interesting when they talked about that kind of stuff, you know, and working for like low level like mafia guys, watch On the Waterfront.
Okay.
That one's a good one. And you get some classic lines in there with, what's his name?
Mickey Rooney?
Huh?
I'm on the...
No, water. The Godfather.
Oh, 94. Okay, that's Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, yeah, the good one. Yeah.
That's a 1954 film.
1954, okay. Yeah. I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender, but now I'm a bum, right? Watch that one. Watch The Harder They Fall with Humphrey Bogart. It's about the same kind of thing, but he's the boxing like promoter, and it's amazing. It's a noir film.
Okay,
like you know, but it's about boxing. It's an awesome movie. Snatch with Brad Pitt. Got a little bit of that in there.
All right.
And then if you like the vigilante movie, pro vigilante type stuff, and taking the, you know, justice and taking, you know, taking it back to the bad guys that get away with murder. Boondock Saints. Watch that one. You like that scene with Elektra, you know, breaking stuff and training and montage and music, watch Angelina.
Wake me up inside.
Yeah. Watch Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider. And if you like that church scene with the bad guy and the good guy, supposedly good guy, at the end of the movie, watch Batman 1989.
For some odd reason, when you said the church scene, my mind instantly went to Face Off.
I want his face off.
But that ending scene when they're in the church and John Travolta does that weird like, he poses like Christ. Yeah. And it's just like.
It's a lot of Christ stuff in movies. Yeah, and then Armageddon, again, I always talk about Armageddon. It's just like being a fun movie. We'll probably never talk about it. But anyways, so what are you watching now, Roger?
Well, I've only got two things to mention that I've seen or I'm playing. So first things first, I'm playing BioShock.
Okay.
Really good game. I'd recommend everyone go check that out. It's one of the pivotal first-person shooters out there. Did a lot for the genre.
Okay.
And I also saw The Batman, and I recommend that.
Okay. That'll work. I'm currently watching Barry again. I talked about this a few episodes ago, but I started watching it. So I'm re-falling in love with the whole show. Because I'm doing a little bit of research on something that I'm producing for a comedian, a touring comedian, Rosh Suresh. I'm producing a TV pilot for him called Stuck. And I'm kind of, you know, it's in a similar type of comedy, but maybe not as over-the-top funny.
We're in the very early stages of working on this project.
Yeah, very early. But look for that eventually one of these days. And then I got an advanced screening of The Adam Project.
Oh, okay.
That's going to come out, in March 11th? So probably pretty
10th,
soon.
10th, 11th or something?
Yeah, March 11th. And that's just a fun film. So I recommend people check that one out and, you know, let us know what you think. And that also has Jennifer Gardner in it, which is kind of cool, which ties into our episode.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of stuff, and a lot of these movies are interconnected because I just saw, as I was watching The Batman, I was like, I was connecting that to Daredevil, and then I went home after watching The Batman, and I started watching The Fugitive, and it's like, hey, the guy who played Ben Urich in Daredevil is in the Fugitive, and it's just like, this has been a weird week for just movies that are with interconnecting cast members,
right. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. I'm Lito.
And I'm Roger.
And together we are
Sci-Fi Rewind.
I know.
This is a weird place to put it, but we already did that. Yeah. But okay. Here's the music, everyone. Goodbye.
All right. Here it's coming. It should be creeping up underneath us, and eventually it'll go away. We'll go away, and then you'll hear like our little closing little thing.
Well, it's already playing right now.
Right.
See ya.
See ya. See ya next week. Oh, what's the tease?
I think I got it.
Okay.
This next film definitely is in Hollywood.
No. Could it be a different type of wood?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.